Shekhinah Yud Zayin, Tulchan Lanoshim, Piriyam, Ole Tzipuchim, Al Laili, one of the most graphic kinos in describing the suffering, the horrors of the Jews suffered through the Chorban. Speaks of women eating their children. Mitzvashalna Nashim Rachmanios Yeladim, merciful mothers cooking the children who were once their greatest joy and treasure. And yet, when desperate due to starvation, these same women resorted to cannibalism, even if it involved their own child. So it was in later persecutions as well. 1648, in November, Yud Zayin Cheshvan, Nasa Nata Hanover, and his work Yevein Metzula, in which he describes the Cossack massacres of so many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews, describes the community of Narol in 1648, how 12,000 Jews were massacred there. Only a few hundred women and children, he said, survived, the few surviving men. For 5 days they had no food, they were starving. And ultimately they resorted to eating the flesh from the Jewish corpses that littered the city. And so as shocking and as horrific as this Kina's descriptions seem to be, unfortunately, it's a tragedy that has repeated itself time and again throughout the persecutions of our Golos. And he goes na pas rosham v'sikshan l'susim porchim alalayli. People are tied by their hair to flying, speeding horses and dragged to their death in that inhumane manner. Rav Zatzal recalled that his first cousins son of his uncle, Rav Hirsch Glickson, who married Rav Chaim Brisker's daughter. There was an older librarian at YU years back who, when I spoke to him, mentioned to me that he remembered Rav Hirsch Glickson, Rav Chaim's son-in-law, who was a Gera Chassid, who headed a yeshiva, Torah Chaim, in Warsaw. He related to me how this Rav Hirsch Glickson knew Mishnayis Shas Baal Peh. And this Rav Hirsch Glickson had a son who, when the Nazis invaded in Warsaw in the beginning of the war, was in his week of Sheva Brachos. And they tied both him and his wife to the back of their cars, which they then proceeded to speed through town with, dragging these unfortunate young Jews to their death. Not just the Churban, it's not just World War II. In the Chronicles of the Crusade, there are two existing chronicles written by Jews who lived at that time. They've been translated into English. In Edward Peter's anthology of the Crusade Chronicles, he quotes in one of those two Jewish chronicles, one is called The Anonymous Chronicle of Mainz. There's a description of a young Jewish man who had a rope placed around his neck by the Crusaders, by the Christian barbarians, who then dragged him by the neck through town from where he had been living to the local church, at which time they proceeded to demand that he accept baptism. And this Kadosh, who at that point could no longer even speak because he had been strangulated by the rope around his neck as he was being dragged through the city streets, simply motioned with his finger that he wanted them to decapitate him instead, which they proceeded to do. Tongues of young children, so dry that they stick to their palates. And so men azulu mazu boi nevashals benenu tsarchim, if women decide together to cook their screaming kids because they are starving, they want to eat. A reference to a story in Chazal. One says to the other, Tani b'neich, hand over your son, v'uchavoy menutach netachim, but it was too late, that son was already hidden away, killed, and cut to pieces for one person's use, not for the other. It says, menabis ar avos labanim, if perhaps unwittingly sons are given their father's flesh and have a hand in desecrating their father's corpse. Daniel Goldhagen, in his book, describes how the commander of a Nazi labor camp, Christian Wirth, who commanded a camp near Lublin, near Majdanek, for purposes of his own sadistic enjoyment, kept a young Jewish boy instead of sending him to the gas chambers as would be expected. He kept him in his own home, fed him well, dressed him with a mini SS uniform, and gave this little Jewish boy a machine gun, which to a kid is a toy. And he trained this little Jewish boy to point his toy at the Jews as they would walk by, that the Jew would be responsible, this little Jewish boy would be responsible for the shooting deaths of Jewish prisoners in the camp. And this commander, Christian Wirth, rode a white horse, gave this little Jewish child a little pony to ride on, and the two of them, one eyewitness reports, fired and killed 50 to 60 Jews just for fun. And Goldhagen writes that this little boy is said to have shot and killed his own mother. And his menabis are avos labanim. Young children are perhaps unwittingly responsible or have a hand in the death of their parents. Speaks of 80,000 young Kohanim fleeing to the Heichal, to the Beis HaMikdash, for shelter. And she saw Rachna Shom Kol Osam HaNefashos, where they were all subjected to burning alive, and the Heichal was set on fire. Again, a scene that repeated itself so many times, certainly during the war, World War II. When Jews were locked into local shuls to then set aflame. Bialystok, the main shul, was set on fire after the local police battalion herded 700 Jews inside, poured gasoline all over the building, along with explosives. 700 Jews perished in that Heichal that was burning. And Tipachin and Nefashos Medukara Mireach Tenuvos Sichim. kind of speaks of nefashos medukarim, these beaten neshamos. Me reach tenuvos sichem, who are now blown, swollen by hunger, and they smell the sweet aroma of fruits that they cannot take for themselves. In that march we mentioned earlier, the Klausenberger Rebbe was forced to endure 6,000 Jews marching from Warsaw toward Dachau, Germany. The Rebbe related how, as they left the Warsaw ghetto confines where they had been working, they were walking through the Polish streets of Warsaw. They saw stores filled with all sorts of food and drink. There was more than enough. And these Jews walking by, famished, dropping from exhaustion, couldn't dare go near it. Even when some non-Jewish Polish farmers, as they were walking along the road, had some compassion on them and brought them some pails of water to drink, the SS guards brutally attacked these farmers, spilled the water on the floor so that the Jews wouldn't be able to benefit from it. And as they walked alongside a river, for the first time in days, desperate to quench their thirst, the Nazi guards said, "Okay, you can approach the river," only to then unleash their vicious dogs and fire bullets at them as they did so. These words, perhaps hauntingly accurate, "Im tipachnu nefashos medukarim me'reach tenuvos sichem," these lives, these souls, these broken bodies were swollen with hunger and tortured by the tantalizing allure of the water they needed so desperately, which they couldn't even take advantage of. Description of, on one rock, brains of little children had been left on the rock. Again, it seems like a horrific exaggeration, and yet when you read Richard Rhodes' history of the SS, he describes Adolf Eichmann's accounts of how he on occasion would dirty his black trench coat with the brains of those Jews that had just been recently shot in his presence. Brings to mind again the Tisha Kabin Moche Yeladim Unachim. And finally, after mourning all of these horrific descriptions described here in detail, the author of the Kino writes, "Beruach HaKodesh Lemulam Marim," the Ruach HaKodesh angrily responds, "Hoyal Kol Shechenai HaRaim, Ma Shehikro Amodiyim," you complain about what happens to you, "Ve'es Asher Asu Lo Modiyim," you don't tell what you did. And in perhaps assigning perhaps blame or responsibility for all of these tragedies, the author of the Kina writes, "In Mehareg B'miktosh Hashem Koin V'Novi Lo Mashmiyim," that you don't speak of how it was possible that you Jews murdered a Navi, Zechariah, in the Beis HaMikdash. That you don't talk about, and that the author of the Kina suggests is perhaps one of the reasons why these chatoim, these terrible tragedies came upon Klal Yisrael, perhaps in punishment for that terrible crime of murdering the Navi Zechariah in the Beis HaMikdash.